We are in the series of Sweeter Than Honey, Stronger Than Gold. God's Design for the Church is the title of the message. You say, Pastor, what is it that God intended for the Christian life? I will tell you this, what God did not intend for the Christian life is that we live the Christian life alone. He did not intend that. From Genesis to Revelation, if we look at the Bible, God always works through people. God always works through families. And God always works through what's called the body of Christ. This morning, who can tell me who the body of Christ is? Who? The church. The believers. We are the church. It's not the building. He is the head of the body. He is our leader, right, of the church. We need to understand that in this mindset or the way of thinking that God's design for the church is important, and it's pictured here in 1 Corinthians. My first point would be God designed the church to be connected. God designed the church to be connected. And in this portion of scripture, Paul is giving us a picture of how God designed the church to function, how we're supposed to live together, how we're supposed to work together. You know, our theme for the year, Sweeter Than Honey, Stronger Than Gold, we use the honeycomb, we use the hexagon as a honeycomb. And if you notice with the beehive, there's a lot of hexagons, right? A lot of that, of those shapes. And what it does, it's a structure that is strong for these bees, but they create a giant piece. It's not a small piece. In the same way, I want us to understand, we are a lot of small cells. And part of that body of Christ, we are a lot of small pieces connected to each other, or parts. And what happens when when one of the cells or one of the pieces are weakened, it doesn't collapse. You know why? Because of the way it's structured. It's structured to work together. It's structured to be strengthened. That's how God made the church. Now, I'll be honest with you, every part of the church is important for the function of the church. But God designed the church to grow strong together, not to grow strong in isolation. Not to grow strong alone. Let me tell you something. If there's somebody that's not in church here this morning, you should get them in church. Because that's what the church is designed to help people grow strong together. If somebody that you know should be in church is not in church here, you should get them into church. Not because I'm telling you this. I'm telling you because it's the design that God created for the church. We're not called to be spectators. We're called to be connected. You follow me? We're called to serve together. We're called to be together, united. We're called to do something bigger than ourselves, bigger than our own self. The first point, again, God designed the church to be connected. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, for as the body is what? One, and hath many what? Members, many parts to it, many cells. And all the members of that one body being what? Are they a few? Are they single? They're many. Are one what? Body. But they work and they function together as one. United. So also is who? Wow. Go to verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all what? Baptized into one body. Let me ask you something. When is it that you received? When is it that I receive? When do we receive the Holy Spirit? At salvation. When you and I are saved, then we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. So that's saying that once I am saved, I am now put into a body of Christ or the body of Christ. You know what that means? You belong to a church. You belong to a body of Christ. That's why the terminology of, oh, it's time to attend church, or I'm going to attend church, and I'm guilty of it. I've said that times, but now I'm going to change my terminology because I've gotten convicted. I am not called to attend a church. I am called to belong to church. If you're saved here this morning, not only are you called to be connected to Jesus, salvation, but you're connected to belong to a church. To be an ambassador and a representative of Jesus Christ in your local community. That's why I can't just go and visit a church. Now, I get it. If you go visit a church, you follow me, for a special occasion, I understand that. But, you know, you've heard of these people, church hoppers, you know? Well, I'm trying to find a church that makes me feel better, or I'm trying to find a church that, and you should find a church where you can grow. But please don't misunderstand, the Bible doesn't preach or teach that we're supposed to do the Christian life alone. We actually belong connected to a church. So find that church where you're connected and you can grow together, grow stronger. And if this is your church, I hope it is, but if it's not, I will recommend you, please go to a church where you can grow. Your family can grow. Your marriage can grow. Your children can grow. Your finances can grow. Amen. I mean, that's going to take you too. Amen. But you follow me? Go somewhere where you are connected and you can grow stronger. It says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one what? I love these passages because Paul is teaching about the church. It's not a building. The church is a what? Another B word. A body. It's important for us to internalize this thinking, this mindset. It's important for us to understand that this is not something, an organization that we attend. This is a living organism. And you're a part of that. Who is the Spirit? God. Who are we connected to? Jesus. But we are connected to one another as well to function as Victory Baptist Church of White House, Texas. And the greater Tyler area. Whoever God chooses to bring. How many of you live in White House? Raise your hand. Look at that. Two. How many of you live in Tyler? Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. How many of you live in Longview? 1, 2. And then you have your wife, and then the Longs, and then the Mitchells. From Longview, they come here. Who lives in Chandler? 1. And if, amen. Miss Jackie. Amen. Who lives in Flint? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Look at them showing off. Amen. Who lives in, where do you live? Bullard? Miss Shantae, I'm talking to you. Who lives in Bullard? All right, two. Amen. And then Miss Nevaeh, amen. Miss Naomi, you live in White House, correct? You live in Tyler, amen. Do you see, this is Victory Baptist Church of White House, Texas. But you notice we now all live in the same city or town. But you know what we are the same? One body. We're connected. Our faith in Christ connects us to Jesus, and our faith in Christ connects us to each other. Regardless of our background, regardless of our age, regardless of our address. Oh, I'm sorry. Y'all live in Tyler, right? I said Tyler. Okay. I don't even know where I live half the time. Sorry, let me get back to the sermon. Amen. I want you to understand verse 13 is showing us what happens. The Holy Spirit places every believer into the same spiritual family. It's called the body of Christ. It's called the church. And I want you to understand, no matter your past, my friend, no matter your race, no matter your financial status, salvation puts us in one body. One body. In simple terms, I don't attend Victory Baptist Church. I belong to Victory Baptist Church. You, if you're saved, belong to Victory Baptist Church. That's where God placed you. I understand there's some place sometimes, you know, you want to go to a church where you can grow. If this is not it, I will help you find a church where you can grow. Amen. But for us right here, I want us to understand that's the mindset. God designed the church to be connected. The reason why you belong to a church is so you won't be alone living the Christian life. Your family might be a family of one, but you're not alone. I'm thankful to God. We have widows in our church, in our midst, and praise the Lord, we were able to go and help Miss Deborah. Amen. By the way, we've helped her, right, Miss Deborah? You here? All right. Amen. We've helped her, paid for. We raised money to help her with her heater. Does that baby work now? Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what I want to hear. Amen. Yes. And if it doesn't, well, we're going to work on it. Amen. The whole thing is this. She's not here to live just life by herself either. Many of you have invested in the ministries, youth ministry. You've invested in ministries of the Sunday school ministries. We're not here to do life by ourselves alone. We're here to do life what? Together. You follow me? This is what is the design for God. One body. God didn't just give you a ticket to heaven. God gave you, when you became saved, gave you a spiritual family on earth. People don't like this, but Christianity is not just a personal life or a private life. What you and I need to understand, Christianity has never been meant to be private. Oh, well, I'm going to go and deal with my own issues and deal with my own problems. And I'm not saying we need to gossip or anything, but we're here to help. You don't have to do that. We're here. I'm going to tell you, I'm a private person. Ask my wife. She doesn't think so, but never mind. I am a private person. I might talk a lot, but I don't like sharing a lot of, you know, issues of my life. Being that I'm a pastor, I've learned to talk about certain things. And I will tell you, it becomes easier when you're able to confide in fellow Christians that have gone through what you're going through, what I've gone through. And it's been a blessing to, like, my father-in-law, who's no longer here, he's at home in heaven, but he was a mentor of mine. I was able to confide in him. My weaknesses, you know why? He didn't laugh at me. He didn't make fun of me. He didn't tell me how worthless I was. Because he valued me, and I'm assuming because I'm married to his daughter, he wanted to make sure I made it, amen? So guess what he did? He helped me. He loved me where I was at, regardless of my race, my background, my past. And he would strengthen me so I could be a better husband, a better father, a better Christian, a better servant of God. But I wouldn't have found that in the world. Amen? Think about it. The world will mentor you to take from you. You have to pay this much money, and I will help you develop yourself personally. If you want to get higher education, you have to pay to get that knowledge, right? It's just... it's truth. I'm not saying anything negative. What I'm trying to tell you is church is not an organization. It's a living organism. It's alive. And it's brought us together. And think about the single honeybee trying to survive alone. One bee cannot build a hive. One bee cannot produce honey. One bee cannot protect itself. But together, thousands of bees create something powerful, don't they? One Christian alone will struggle. But a connected Christian will become strong. My mama was able to do what she did, not because she did it alone, but she had a church family. She did pray. She did her part. But she had a church family that she can rely on, that can support her baby boys, her baby girls, and help her along this journey and make it easier. It was still difficult. The struggle was real, but she had a church family. This is why it's so important, folks, to understand where your church family belongs. You belong to your church. You say, I don't belong to anyone. I don't mean it that way as far as ownership. I mean it in the way that God saved you for a purpose. There are certain people you're supposed to reach that I can't reach. There are certain people that God will use you to bring to church that there is no way in the world that I would be able to influence. You. Pastor, how do you know that? Are you still breathing? Then God must have a purpose for your life. I don't have to like it, but I can say, God, you still have me here for a reason. Thank you. Show me what I need to do. I just want you to understand, a church is a body. It's not a building. It says, as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is what? Christ. So also is Christ. It's meaning that the church, again, is not just an organization. It's a living organism. It's comparing the body of Christ. Of Christ as Christ himself, the head. It's living. Let's continue to the second point. God designed the church to be diverse but united. Listen to me. The church is made up, especially our church, is made up of different ages. Amen? Our church is made up of different backgrounds. But can I tell you something? That's how God designed it. He didn't design it to be the same. God designed our church to have different personalities. And praise the Lord, I'm thankful. God also designed our church to have different gifts. This is how God designed it. 1 Corinthians 12:14 says, for the body is not one what? But what? Many members. I want you and I to understand this truth. God never intended that these members come to our church to divide us. God intended for these many members to come to our church as diverse as we are and we have in our church to complete us. You complete us. Victory Baptist Church, this is who we are. That's why I said I'm not ashamed of our church. I'm not. If anything, I'm in awe of what God has done in our church, through our church. This is why I don't mind putting certain pictures online about our church. This is our church. I'm proud of our church. You should be too. Because this is what God has intended diversity to become, something that completes us. Christianity was never meant to live in isolation. It's just like this. Hand was never intended to live disconnected from its arm. What would happen if the member of my body, that's the hand, if it's disconnected to my arm, what would happen to that member? What do you think we're talking about? You are a member of the church. You were not created to live in isolation. As a Christian, you're not created, married couple, to live isolated from the church. It's just not the way it is. It's not healthy for your marriage. The connection, and it's amazing, the design God made is the church to be diverse but united. We have couples in here. How many of you are couples? Raise your hand. Okay. Maybe you're not a couple? Okay. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Pray for us. How many of you are single? Raise your hand. Okay. Complicated. Okay, I got it. Single. Amen. Brother Benjamin doesn't know if he's married or single. Amen. But here's the thing. Listen, we're not all married. How many of us are teenagers in here? Amen. Juvenile, adults. Amen. We have those. Amen. But in age. Amen. In age. They're out there in Sunday school. How many of you are children, right? What I'm trying to tell us is this. God designed the church to be diverse but united. It completes us. It's the way it's supposed to be. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21, it says, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the what? We have to do it in the Lord. Growth in marriage must be done in the Lord. But all our diversity is meant to fit together, to be joined together. You are part of our church because you complete us. You're an important part of our church. Stop, something that will help us, and I want you to understand this, stop comparing your role, or stop comparing your Christianity, or stop comparing your family, your marriage to someone else. Please, don't do that. You're just the one that God needs for Victory Baptist Church. You follow me? Do not compare your Christianity. Do not compare how spiritual or unspiritual you might be. Do not compare your role to anyone else. The danger in churches is when people say, I'm not important, or I'm not gifted like them, or all I can do is small stuff. I don't know what to do. Hey, listen to me. As your pastor, there are no small roles in God's church. Do you hear me? There are no small roles in God's church. In God's church. Yeah, you're probably not the preacher, but you're still an important role in the church. Yes, you're probably not the pianist, but you're still important, and your role is still important to our church. You might not be a Sunday school teacher. Follow me. You might not be a deacon. You might not be an usher. It's okay. Your role is still important in our church. You say, Pastor, how? That's how we build Victory Baptist Church. It's with a family. We must appreciate everyone, every gift, every member. You can serve. Every servant we must appreciate. We must respect every ministry. We must stay united, even if we're different. Amen? Even if we're different. Victory Baptist Church, united, and I don't want you to make this mistake. United doesn't mean uniform. Being together does not mean we're going to look the same. United doesn't mean uniform. We're not going to speak all the same. You follow me? But we still are united. God designed the church to be diverse, but united. Amen? We might not all eat well like Pastor. Amen? That was a joke. Amen. I like delicious food. Amen? Not saying some of you don't. God didn't call us to be clones. Amen. God called us to be a body with different faces, with different ages, with different talents. But we have one Savior. His name is Jesus. And with one mission to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to reach our local area. And the obedient part is to reach the uttermost parts of the world, right? Listen, every person matters in our church. I want you to understand this. This is God's honeycomb. That's what this means. When we stand together, I promise you, hell cannot even go against the church. But don't allow the devil and the devices of the devil to divide our church. Third point, and we'll be done. Oh, man, everybody woke up. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you're still with me, say amen. Amen. God designed the church. I'm so sorry I didn't put that. God designed the church to serve together. God designed the church to serve together. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, for we are what? Not Mexicans. We are what? Workers. Laborers. Oh, Pastor, that's not part of my culture. So? We are what? Jesus saved us to work, to serve, to labor. Not to be bench warmers. Not to be spectators. Amen. Parents, don't just be spectators when we start this Awanas program. Be participators. Bring your children, include them in the program, and guess what? Come to church and see what you can do, how you can help. Amen. Pastor's only one person. Pastor's family is only a group of eight. Amen. God has been good to us. Amen. But here's the thing. We can't do this by ourselves. Brother Benjamin and Miss Amber can't do this by themselves. Guess what we'll need? Laborers.
For we are laborers, when? How? United, together. We work together with God. Ye, or like we say in Texas, y'all, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. This terminology is building, right? Paul is saying, hey, look, we're going to prepare the field. Hey, guess what? We're going to build the building, right? We're going to need workers to do that, construction workers. That's what this is talking about. This is the relationship. Let me tell you something. God designed the church so we can serve together. It's a building terminology, my friends. It's not so we can be inactive. It's not so we can be spectators of what God is doing at Victory Baptist Church. My friends, you belong to Victory Baptist Church. Your calling is to work at building Victory Baptist Church. And if that means, okay, pastor wants us to go online and click the thing so that way it can drive traffic, then go online and click the thing. I don't know what it's called. Amen? Sorry, I'm showing my age. Amen? If God put in pastor's heart to have an activity to go bowling, amen, at Green Acres, well, that's not my church, so I'm not going to go bowling, then just go bowling, amen, because it's part of working together. Man, you don't think I have better things to do, too? You do know I have, okay, here, let me go on my pity list. I had a neck surgery, ACDF, anterior cervical discectomy, fusion. I've had a back surgery, amen. Praise the Lord. That's when Brother Mundo and Miss Lauren went to go be there for us and helped our family. And I had to go emergency surgery for my back, amen. L5S1. I'm going to say it. And I'll do my pity party. I could not move. I was paralyzed until they fixed that. I've also had a stroke. Didn't know that, but praise the Lord, full-on stroke, amen. Now, you think I would not prefer to go home and just chill? Yeah, but that's not what I was called to do, to chill. You were not called to chill. We are free, but sometimes we live like we're frozen. We're saved, but sometimes we live like we're stuck. I'm going to tell you why. We're not working. Pastor, don't you just get tired? Yeah, you're preaching to the choir. I get tired. Remember? You don't have a pastor that's in it for the money. I work, amen, a secular job all these years. I didn't just fully was, and I'm not saying pastors don't work, amen, but now my children just remind me I don't work, amen. But I will tell you this, I work secular job to be able to provide for my family, sometimes to pay for the bills for the church. It was until 9 years that the church was able to pay me a salary. Praise the Lord for that. I'm not regretting anything. I'm just trying to tell you, you don't have a pastor that just doesn't know where you live. Doesn't know how important it is to have time with your spouse. You're not talking to a pastor that doesn't know and understand that it's important to invest time in your family. You're not talking to a pastor that just stands there and all they do is pray, read their Bible, so he can preach at us, but doesn't understand where we live. You have a pastor that can identify where you've been. I'm tired too, but I never use that excuse. Neither should you. You know why? We're called to what? Work together. Now, I will tell you this. It might look different. Some of you can't teach, but you know what you could do? You could pray for that teacher. Some of you probably can't pray for that teacher. Well, we all could pray. But you know what? You could be an assistant. Some of you probably can't be a teacher, an assistant, but you can invite somebody to church. You know a lot of people. You could say how, you say, Pastor, I don't know how that, what has the church done for you and your family? Being here, how has it helped? If you think a little bit, you'll be thankful for what God has done in your life and how God has used this ministry. If you just think a little bit, you could say, well, I used to think church was this way, but now that I've come to church, I've realized it's about a relationship. It's not about a religion. It's not about optics of what people might say about my image. It's about pleasing my God, not pleasing man. When you come to church, you start realizing I've grown spiritually, where before I didn't even know the Bible. How has God helped you? How has God used this church? My friends, can I tell you something? This is what people need. Because there are things that happen in the church or that we preach about in the church that sometimes people can't use Monday through Sunday. You follow me? Monday through Saturday. We need to connect. We were called to connect. We were called to work together. My friends, you're a part of that.
You might not be the preacher, but you can invite them to come and listen to the preaching because it might change their life or it might help them the way it helped you. You might not be the preacher or the Sunday school teacher, but you can go ahead and you're connected to the community the way I'm not ever going to be connected to, and you can bring and have these kids come and learn about Jesus and help those kids the way church has helped your kids.
Amen,
somebody. Amen. Pastor, are you mad? No, I don't know. I'm just Hispanic. Amen. Listen, Paul here, go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. I don't know what that had to do with the sermon. Amen. That was for free. For brethren, Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, for brethren, speaking to those of us that are what? Yeah. Somebody in the world is not your brother or your sister. You might be in a familial relationship, in other words, in a family relationship, and through blood you might be, you know, brother and sister, but this is not talking about that. This is talking about those of us that are what? Those of us that have trusted in Jesus Christ, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. I'm not a sister, but, you know. For brethren, ye have been called unto what? What's another word for liberty? Starts with an F. Freedom. Freedom. Ye have been called to freedom. Freedom from what, Pastor? Freedom from sin. Freedom from what, Pastor? Freedom from condemnation. Freedom from what, Pastor? I don't know. My brain doesn't go that far. But freedom. Freedom to live for God. How about freedom to serve God? Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. But he didn't give you freedom to go be selfish and sin. That's not what we were saved for. He didn't give us freedom to go and destroy the church by using sin and gossiping. Amen. Now, listen, I don't know if any of that's going on. I don't. But I'm just trying to explain to you. Don't use that freedom or that liberty for an occasion to the what? Flesh. He didn't give us freedom to destroy our marriages. He didn't give us freedom to destroy one another. No. It's to build. What is the freedom for? But by love, serve what? One another. I am not free to sin, but I'm free to serve you. Oh, I don't do that. That's what we've been called to do. When you give your tithes, your offerings, and for the building fund and for the special offerings, guess what you're doing? You're using that freedom that God gave you. You're saved now from the pit of hell. You're saved now from the results of your sin, right? The condemnation of your sin. Guess what? Now you're free to love by serving one another when you give. You now, when you teach, when you tell somebody about Christ, now you're free to love them by serving one another. When you use your talents, when you use your gifts. Now Paul is using a relationship terminology, language. It's no longer construction, right? It's a relationship terminology. And he's saying, we are free from sin. We're free from the law. We're free from condemnation. But not to live selfishly. Amen? We're free to serve one another. Freedom to serve. The church was designed to be a serving community. Oh, man, I love this. Not a sitting audience. Freedom to serve. God designed the church to be a serving community, not a sitting audience. That's deep. Copyright that. Amen? No. Everybody is to serve. Oh, Pastor, come on. You're exaggerating. How can little kids serve? Teach them to pick up their cups. Teach them to pick up after themselves. Oh, that's not my child. Listen, you don't have permission to beat my child, okay? Please don't beat my child or spank him. But you have permission to teach. Use that as an occasion to teach. Amen? Now, I'm saying that, but my wife might say something different. Amen? Let me get back to you on that. Amen? Obviously, if you do it with love, I'm not going to get upset. Obviously, if you say, hey, Ezra, listen, you see that cup over there? You see that plate over there? Hey, why don't you do me a favor and go pick it up? You don't have to tell me. Hey.
you know what? Your dad's the pastor and you're his child. Go pick that up. That's the big difference, right? Make it a game. They're kids. You say, Pastor, I don't have the brain you have. Okay, that's fair. Amen, that's fair. That's fair. You know, I might be more childlike. I get it. I might be more childlike. But speak to them in their level. Amen. If you need help with that, I can kind of relate with them. Amen. But just tell them and say, hey, you know what? Let's make it fun. Let's have a game. Let's see who can pick up the most trash. Whoever does, give me a high five. I don't know. I mean, come up with something. Amen. We could be creative more than pastor. But you follow me? I mean, you can make it fun. You can make it exciting. Let's see how many of us can get the hymn books there and straighten them out and put them underneath there so that way the next service, they'll be there for people to, when they come. You don't serve, sir or ma'am, is because maybe you're just not thinking about it, or maybe you don't want to. I don't know. But I'm trying to tell you, we all can serve. We've been called to serve. What's difficult? Why is it so difficult for some of us to say, hey, you know what? Hey, girls, you know what we're going to do today? We're going to go and go to the ladies' bathroom and get the trash can or the trash bags, throw it over here, and then get the trash bags and then have it ready for next service. I said, Pastor, that's not fun. It could be fun. Listen, a positive attitude creates positive results. I believe that. It doesn't have to necessarily be all about your perception. Look at the perspective behind it. What is the truth? Do you want them to learn how to serve, that even a child can serve? And guess what? In that process, you're serving too. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. The future of Victory Baptist Church will not be built by a handful of leaders or chiefs. It will be built by an army of servants. My friends, we were not called to be bench warmers. We were called to be contributors, to be workers. God doesn't say, hey, sit, soak, and sour. That's not what God says. You know what he saved you for and saved me for? To stand, to serve, and to strengthen the church. Just bow our head, close our eyes. The challenge is simple. Today I want to help our church. Sweeter than honey, stronger than gold means